As we come to the preaching of God's word this morning, I want to call to your attention a succession of five different texts in the word of God, beginning in Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. We're going to turn to five texts, three in the Old Testament and two in the New Testament, and set these in our thinking. Proverbs chapter 17, and the verse I want to look at is verse number 17. For God's word says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Turn the page and look at chapter 18 and verse 24, the last verse of chapter 18. "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Where we have Jesus' words regarding John the Baptist. And he alludes in these words to what people thought of him. And he says something that they deemed to be derogatory, but we see a very blessed thing. In verse number 16, we begin our reading in Matthew chapter 11. "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, and saying, 'We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced, and we have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and then they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children.'" Turn to John chapter 15, where we began our service this morning. John chapter 15. Where we read in verse number 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." And one last text in the book of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Chapter number 5. Where the bride is extolling the bridegroom, and we take this as a type of the Lord Jesus. The last verse of the chapter, after describing all that is wonderful about him, she says, "His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." This morning it is my aim to set before you Jesus Christ as that friend. Jesus Christ as that friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus Christ as that friend that loveth at all times, that brother born for adversity. And so we're going to take as our primary text that first verse that we looked at in Proverbs chapter 17. You can return there with me And that's the last time I'll have you turn somewhere. Proverbs chapter 17 again and verse number 17. This will be our primary text. It's printed on the front of your bulletin as well. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Dear congregation, you have been born, you who have been born again, unto a lively hope. You who have been born again unto faith in Jesus Christ and repentance of your sins. What a friend we have in Jesus. And I would like, if the Spirit will enable me this afternoon, to set before you Jesus Christ as the best of friends. We have read in these five texts that Jesus Christ does not hesitate to call us his friends. He said in the Gospel of Luke that he is the friend of sinners, and in the Gospel of John that we are his friends, and that he laid down his life for his friends. He does not hesitate to call you and I his friends. And so if he is a friend, then Proverbs 17 and verse 17 as a description of a faithful and best friend must be a description primarily of Jesus Christ, who is the truest and most faithful and best friend a sinner could have. And so let's look for Christ as we see this text. And Solomon writes, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The first and most plain thing that this text suggests is that there is a constancy in Christ's friendship. He's a friend that loveth at all times. Think with me of the constancy, of the endurance of the friendship of the Lord Jesus. There's a sense at first in which this text is absolutely inadequate to describe the constancy of his friendship. For the text says that a friend loveth at all times. But the first thing that comes to our mind is that this friend loved his friends before there was time. Before the foundations of the earth, before creation, before time ever began to run, the Lord Jesus entered into a covenant to love and to save those whom the Father had given him, and to be their eternal and never-failing friend. And this friendship and this love began before time began. He set his heart upon these friends. He determined to save them by the shedding of his own blood, to make himself a ransom for them. So long, long ago, an eternity passed, Jesus espoused a people unto himself. He engraved them upon the palms of his hands and even upon his very heart. And he will take these people into union with himself forever and ever. His love for these friends as their friend began before time began. And then when time did begin, and our Lord Jesus was creating all of the rolling spheres, still, his friends were upon his heart. Christ has never been a stranger to you who believe on him. He's known you long before you knew yourself. Psalm 139, the psalmist writes, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. All of God's promises from millennia ago were made with a primary reference to all his friends. There was never a point in the history of the world in which this friend of sinners, the Lord Jesus, did not love his own. Every era of time has for him been a time of love. It has never waxed or waned. Chiefly, he proved his faithful love to you when he condescended to work out for you a perfect righteousness and to have his soul be made an offering for your sin. You had no being then. You were completely unthought of when it comes to the human population. But he knew you, and he loved you, and he gave himself for you. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And he is a friend who loved you in the darkest hour, when your sins were weighing down upon him in the darkness of the cross. When his spirit was weighed down under the curse that you should have known in your person, he loved you. He loved his own. He loves at all times his friends. Oh, the constancy of his love. And we have not yet come to your own personal history. And we can already see it is a constant and eternal love. But think of his love set upon you at the time of your birth. How he lovingly arranged where and to whom you would be born. How he lovingly arranged when and what era of history you would be born into. And all of your unregenerate life, he faithfully watched over you and would not allow you to die unconverted. Determined to save, he watched o'er your path. When Satan's blind slave, you sported with death. He loved you as your best of friends in those days when you would have nothing to do with him. He loved you when you were neglectful of his day. He loved you when you despised his word. He loved you when you remained proud and prayerless, without any thought to him in the least. When justice would have said, "Let the rebel go. Why are you continuing to have patience with him?" Our ever faithful friend would not cast us away, but loved us still. In all the days of our unregeneracy, consider his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins. And then that happy hour came when all things were made new. And his love is what drew us to himself. It was his love as a friend which sowed in our heart the first seeds of conviction of sin and of dread of punishment for our transgressions. Solomon says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." And in that time when he was drawing you to himself, he faithfully wounded you with the terrors of his law. He smote your conscience when you had gone for weeks and years without any thought of him. And he patiently brought you to a place of conviction of sin and brokenheartedness and wounding of spirit. And he was that friend at your side when you determined to go and to return unto your Father. He was with you as you returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Oh, Jesus is a friend of sinners. And since that blessed change has happened in your life, dear believer, oh, has he been a faithful friend who loveth at all times. We wish we could say that we had been as faithful to him as he has been to us, but it is not the case whatsoever. Even after we've been born again and converted unto him and saved by his blood, all of our life has been back and forth, struggling with sin, backslidings, and rebellions, and coldness of heart. And yet, he's loved us still. A friend that loves at all times. When we've fallen into sin, when we've transgressed his holy word, when we've served other gods and proven untrue to our vow of commitment to him, there was not the slightest degree of decline in his love toward us. For we were his friends, and a friend loveth at all times. For all of our unfaithfulness, and for all of our wandering astray, he will not cast us off or renounce us. He's proven over and over and over again to be a faithful friend in all times, a friend that loveth in all times, in every season of your life, in light, in darkness, in joy, in sadness, in every change. He faithful has remained, and faithful will remain. When you've been sick, when you've been betrayed, when you have been bereaved, when you have felt empty, when you have felt good for nothing, when you have felt undeserving of his friendship, in every perplexity and in every tight spot that you've ever gotten yourself in by your own sin and neglect of the truth of his word, he has been a friend that loved at all times. He's been ever faithful, ever true, a friend that loveth at all times. And one day, it is certain that you will come to the end of your time. And you'll pass through the valley of the shadow of death. But even then, he will be with you as your constant friend. When the great pastor and theologian Jonathan Edwards was dying, his last words were, "Now, where is Jesus of Nazareth, my true and never failing friend? I know he will be with me now that I need his help." And then he looked at his family and he said, "Trust in God and you need not fear." Even in the time of death, Jesus is a constant friend. He is the resurrection and the life, who will be the helper of all his friends in that darkest hour. Our Lord Jesus, as the best of friends, is constant in his friendship, a friend loveth at all times. Consider the nature of his friendship. Consider the nature of this friendship. In the first place, it's a real friendship. Proverbs 17:17 does not merely say that he professes love at all times, or talks of love, or promises love, but that a friend actually loves at all times. And Jesus' love has never been in mere words or pretensions or empty promises. His love has always acted itself out in great and mighty deeds for his friends. Man is the neediest creature in all of creation because man is a sinner, and his sin has brought him into needs of every sort. Poverty and hunger and thirst and cold and sickness, none of these come close to the need of a sinner before a holy God. Sinners need forgiveness, and they are utterly unable to do anything about it. Sinners need deliverance from a guilty conscience, and they can do nothing to assuage that conscience, or to obtain that freedom from their guilt. Sinners are by nature imprisoned debtors, owing an infinite amount to God, and without a penny to pay. Sinners are under the curse of an eternal death, and there's no cure in ourselves. Rather, we get worse and worse under that curse every hour. But at all these needs, Jesus Christ undertook for his friends. He is the one who is the friend of sinners, and who said his blood cleanseth from all sin, that he has power on earth to forgive sins. His blood applied is able to purge our consciences from dead works that we might serve the living God. He came and he actually met as a loving friend in need every need that existed in his friends. He paid our debts to the full and even gave us a righteousness that will avail with God to all eternity. He loosened the shackles of our death and trespasses and sins. And Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us as he hung on that tree. His friendship does not exist in mere words or pretenses or empty promises. It is a real friendship that has acted itself out in mighty deeds on our behalf. He's a real friend. And his friendship is purely motivated. The absolute purest of motivations in his friendship. Solomon in this book of Proverbs has a lot to say to his son about friends. And he warns him very often of friends who will come flattering merely to get something out of you. He says in chapter 19 that wealth maketh many friends. But the poor is separated from his neighbor. And a verse later, many will entreat the favor of the prince. And every man is a friend to him that gives gifts. But this cannot be said of our Lord Jesus. He had nothing to gain by befriending us. He had nothing to gain by befriending us. And therefore, his friendship must be of purest motives. His love for us does not spring in anything in us. It's wholly in him. There's no personal beauty in any of his elect that would cause him to desire us because of something inherent in us. In fact, there's everything in us to disgust him and to turn him away from being a friend. And still, he's a friend that loveth at all times. So it must be a purely motivated friendship. And he's a wise friend. He's a wise friend. Solomon talks about making friends very unwisely, being a companion of fools, and before you know it, they are doing things which have caused you great suffering and pain, as they've enticed you to go with them. Men often make friends very unwisely, and they do not know the true character of their friends until it's too late. But not so with Christ. Christ loved his people before they began to sin. And he knew everything that we would think, and everything that we would do, and everything that we would be. He knew going into this friendship that we would revolt, that we would backslide, that we would provoke him to jealousy over and over again, and yet he loved us and became our friends, knowing full well all of this. And therefore, his friendship must endure. He's a patient friend, a friend that is faithful to the end, through thick and thin. Oh, how patient of a friend he is. He passes by our transgressions, our iniquities, our sins, and like a true friend, he loves at all times. His friendship is real, purely motivated, wise and patient, and therefore constant. What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. But our text mentions a special occasion of his friendship. You see it there, Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all times. And then here is the special occasion of his friendship. A brother is born for adversity. A true brother shows his brotherhood, shows his faithfulness in a time of need in his family. He steps up in a time of adversity, in a time of need, and that's when he shows himself to be a true brother. And this is the special occasion of Christ's friendship. Adversity. Adversity. We've spoken already of the adversity that Jesus Christ underwent for us in our greatest adversity. When we were undone by our own doing in trespasses and sins and had no one to blame but ourselves, he underwent adversity in our place as a faithful friend that we might be saved from eternal adversity. He's a friend in need, a friend born for adversity. But think of other adversities, which are the special occasion of his friendship, and how he truly is a brother born, especially fitted for adversity. Think of how sympathetic he is in all of our adversities. Who else has known the full range of human emotions and grief and suffering like our Lord Jesus? He is forever crowned the man of sorrows, and no one can go beyond him in the extremities of human suffering. And he is able, therefore, he is able to come to the aid of all who were tempted and tried, seeing that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering. He's born to sympathize with our trials. He learned suffering. He learned obedience to the things which he suffered so that he might have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, and that he might bring many sons unto glory as they're compassionate and they're sympathetic and they're gentle and they're tender high priest. He is not untouched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's sympathetic in all of our adversity, a brother born for adversity. And it seems to me that Christ, our true friend, is especially near us. He's especially near his friends when they are in adversity. He gives his presence, his sweetest presence, his choicest presence to his friends when they are in the valley. Many of you can testify to this. Many of you can say, I hardly knew Jesus Christ, thinking back before that dark valley. It was that time of suffering, that time of grief, that time of extremity, when I had no other refuge but him, when it was just Christ and me in the darkness. It was that time in my experience where I really came to know the communion and the fellowship of the Lord Jesus. And he drew nigh unto me in a way that words cannot even express. Seasoned believers will often give their testimony that a person can walk by faith, they can be saved, they can walk with God, but for a full discovery of the preciousness and the sweetness of fellowship with the Lord Jesus, a believer will have to be in the refiner's fire. Because it is then that the Lord Jesus draws especially near in that time of adversity. He's a brother born for adversity. And that's why the psalmist could say that it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Because the Lord Jesus is a brother born for adversity. The Lord Jesus Christ is a friend that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity. Now, what should we do with this sweet doctrine? How should we then live? Well, let's first of all turn the verse around. Do you by grace call yourself a friend of Jesus Christ? If you do, then a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Love him at all times. If Christ is such a friend to us, what manner of people ought we to be towards him? If Christ has loved us with a constant, enduring, patient love through thick and thin, so ought we to do the same, to love him at all times. And yet we grow ashamed to own his cause. And we find it difficult to be honest with him about our failures. And we struggle to make time for him. What has he done to us to be treated in this way by those who call him their friend? Oh, how this ought to move us to brokenheartedness over our disloyalty and unfaithfulness to this truest of friend, and to resolve to go forward loving Christ, our friend, at all times. Let us renew our vows to him. Let us seek every day to have closer communion with him who is our friend, our truest friend, that we might daily know more of his power and his grace. True Christianity is not merely the believing of a certain set of dry, abstract doctrines. True Christianity is daily personal communion with an actual living person, the friend of sinners, the friend that loves at all times, the friend that sticks closer than a brother. This is my friend, the woman said in the Song of Solomon. Let us use our friendship with Jesus in our combat against sin. This would be a strengthening thought to have when we're tempted to sin. Soul, is this the way you're going to treat your friend? Oh, if we could only think that way. If we could only know the grace to respond to temptation with that, how much more sin-slaying we would do by the grace of God. Soul, is this any way to treat your friend? Let us rejoice daily in this friend. We have a constant friend. We have a loving friend. We have a mighty friend. We have a wise friend. We have a friend who never fails. Think habitually about your friend in heaven. And I close with this. Solemnly consider whether Jesus Christ is your friend or not. Are you a friend to Jesus Christ? Or better yet, is Jesus Christ your friend? There are many who are not Christ's friends. They have no love for Christ, no love for souls for whom Christ has died, no hatred for sin which Christ bore away on his cross in suffering and agony. They do not speak to the friend of sinners in prayer. They do not seek close fellowship with this friend. And they cannot with any honesty say that Jesus Christ is their friend. But if Jesus Christ is not your friend, what will you do? What will you do? It is certain that you will meet God one day. And if you do not have a friend on your side at that great day, a friend of sinners to present you unto the judge of all the earth, what will you do? Will you refuse this great friend of sinners and go at it alone on the great day of judgment? Will that be true of you? In spite of the fact that you have had Jesus Christ laid before you as the friend of sinners, constant in his eternal love as a friend, who enables you and meets every need of soul you could possibly come up with right now, you can't think of an excuse of why the Lord Jesus should reject you that is not answered in the constancy of his loving friendship. So will you refuse to come to him? If you want Jesus Christ as your friend, he's willing to be your friend. He's ready to receive you, as unworthy as you feel. He's ready to receive you. He's ready to pardon you. He's ready to clothe you with his righteousness. He invites you now, by my words, he invites you to come to him and to be his friend. All he asks is that you come. And in fact, he commands for you to come. He commands you to come to him just as you are. So will you have him as your friend? Will you have him as your friend and come to him and be safe and be at rest? Oh, come. and be Christ's friend. For a friend loveth at all times, and this brother is born for adversity. What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's stand together as we pray. Lord, our gracious God, we praise thee for giving us this faithful friend of our souls who loves us to the end. And we pray that we would think more habitually with great delight and joy of Jesus as the friend of sinners. And Lord, for those who are yet outside of friendship with the Lord Jesus in their personal experience, we pray that you would draw them to yourself in faithful love, and that they too would know Jesus as the friend of sinners, as their friend. We pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.